get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Hi and welcome to the near post, where we talk football, the real football, soccer, and specifically Australian soccer, Australian football, across the Australian Community Radio Network. I am Paddy Baudier, and with me in the studio are the two Nicks, the two men of numbers. On my left, we have Nick Senior, the man of statistics. How are you going, Nick?
Senior? I'm just so glad we've got rid of that AFL distraction, that NRL nonsense, that Rugby World Cup. Who cares? Finally, football.
Yeah, fantastic. And it's the A-League is starting on the weekend, and I, for one, cannot wait. Now, Nick Jr., another man of numbers, but primarily football numbers, as football is, I think passion is too light a word, your obsession?
Obsession, yeah. Obsession, addiction, whichever word using.
As a student, Nick's got plenty of time in his life.
Yeah. I've already played through four seasons with the Mariners on FIFA 12, four straight A-League titles as well.
Okay, fantastic. So, essentially, you spent your weekend playing FIFA 12, is this correct?
Pretty much, yeah, and a little bit of work as well.
A little bit of work? Yeah. How much work? Proportionally, how much are we talking?
I'm going to say about 5-1 FIFA to work.
Really? Yeah. I'm impressed you did that much work. And Nick Senior, how'd you spend your weekend?
Oh, the usual. Lots of child minding.
Yep.
Trying to bleary-eyed research on for Fantasy A-League.
Now, Nick Senior, like me, has a little baby, and Unfortunately, this is fortunate for us, but there is a side of it which is a bit unfortunate, which means we don't have so much spare time, say, FIFA 12, Championship Manager, Football Manager, and so we live vicariously through Nick Jr.
Don't think that I'm not planning a fair bit of childminding in front of the A-League on television.
Bring that on. Now, coming up in the next half hour, as we get closer to the A-League, we've got all of our A-League discussion, and there is a bit this week. That bit has happened. Oh, a few teams are starting to unravel. A few teams are looking strong. We've also got the Socceroos. Two games the Socceroos are playing in. I'm going to say critical because they've got a small squad and they're packing them in, but we'll get into that. And also the Near Post Radio Fantasy Football game.
Highly anticipated.
Absolutely. If you have an inquiry or you simply like to test our football knowledge, you can do so on our email, and our email is flanagan.amon@gmail.com. If you're looking to catch the podcast, you can catch the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com and on iTunes, as well as halftimeheroes.com.au. Now, our usual podcaster, Eamon, is away enjoying the school holidays, enjoying holidays, I dare say. So, Nick Jr. is going to take up the podcasting duties, the Gen Y of the group.
So we
put it in your hands, Gen Y, and if you're not listening to this radio station on podcast, then Nick Jr. is to blame. No pressure at all, Nick. But millions are waiting for this podcast.
If it doesn't work, how will they know that you just put the pressure on?
Perfect
crime.
My mother will give me a call and ask where it is. So, if only for my mother, Nick Jr., get that podcast up. Yeah, it is in your hands. Now, we do a show dedication, and this week the dedication is to Terry Serapisos, who saved New Zealand involvement in the A-League back in 2007. Now, he's had a few hassles. We've reported on it last
couple of
years.
He's had a few ups and downs, probably more downs in the last year, but I think it's worth highlighting that Terry Serapisos, without much help from the New Zealand Football Federation, has secured the future, at least for now, of Wellington in the A-League.
Yeah. You're a man of financial numbers. Nick, is he completely kaput?
That certainly seems to be the impression.
Yeah, I thought it might be.
This is a bad time to be trying to sell a whole lot of property to pay for extensive debts. On the plus side, though, from what I hear, the new Wellington ownership is an extremely well-connected and well-resourced group of individuals.
So. It seems that way, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's
a consortium of about
promising.
Seven, I think, and they're all pretty variegated professions.
So an A-League team, well-organised, well-backed and supported. What's with that?
Look forward to it.
Yeah. And they've got a, I think we mentioned later on in the show, but they've got a few more roster spots to fill. So, yeah, looking forward to the Knicks. They might be a bit of a sneaky one to watch. Just to keep you guys on your toes, not literally, but certainly figuratively, I have a quiz question. And this quiz question is, what is the record attendance at a regular season A-League game? And will it be beaten this weekend?
I'm going to say...
Nick Jr., fire away.
45,000.
45,000.
Nick Senior, someone.
You got something
it's
else?
It's more than that.
Yeah?
Yep.
I have it on good authority, and that authority being this piece of paper, that it is 50,333.
Big crowd.
Yeah.
Interesting question. Will it be beaten this weekend?
Yeah, with the Melbourne victory versus Sydney.
I don't think so, not least because it's hard to get that many people into Etihad.
Right.
Yeah, you have to get all the, not just Joe Punter, who buys a general admission
ticket.
All the
members,
et cetera,
but all the corporate.
All the special corporate classification. So it is hard getting that many people in.
All those having their tuna or salmon sandwiches or whatnot.
Sushi, I think.
Sushi. So if you're out there and you've got your corporate works, get into it. Come on, let's beat that crowd. That'll be great opening sort of A-League break. All right, now I'm just keen to get through the news because we do have a bit of news and then we have some conversation topics.
Very, very surprising news, actually.
Blockbusting news.
Blockbusting news. So if you just tuned in, we're a Near Post radio show talking about Australian football across the Radio Community Network, and here is our news. If I had a drum roll, I would play it. For the Newcastle Jets have terminated the contract of coach Branko Kolina. This is effective immediately. And they will be applying to Football Federation Australia to have the contract of his son and their marquee player, Jason Kolina, set aside. What the?
Wow.
And this came this after. So we're doing this show Tuesday, and podcast-wise it comes out Wednesday. This is big news to us. It floored me.
Four days before the season.
Happened this afternoon. Look, we've been following the story the last couple of weeks.
Insurance claim denied,
ruled out with injury. Today they're saying that there's a chance he may never play again. Look, it's amazing.
Not the best way to start your season.
No, you wouldn't think so.
Definitely not.
And apparently he was at the Branko Kolina was at the A-League launch.
Wow.
Yeah.
just so, today as well.
Yeah, wow. Just the day. The A-League launch happened today, so Branko Kolina was out there, touting up his
team. Tap on the shoulder and said, you're off.
Wow. Talk about some swift moves behind the scenes, hey?
Wow, yeah.
I really hope he's got a proper successor lined up, because...
Well, they've got their youth team coach
as a temporary facility,
but you can see from Newcastle's perspective, if... The reports are true, and
yes,
$2.4 million for a guy who may never play a game for them. That's a lot for a regional team.
I mean, it's probably a small change to team club, but in terms of the club's operating profit and stuff, yes, that is.
So all the good work they've done on membership unravelled in one swift PR.
One would think that the people who have already bought memberships would still go to games, so they still have a healthy attendance. But, yeah, it's a bit disappointing to see.
It's not good.
I think in all of this, I just want to say, get well, Jason Kolina, because he is a great player, and we do want to see him back in the LA, but I certainly want to see him back up and running. Another team that has just recently lost a key player is Phoenix with Pantelis. He's out for the season.
That's a loss.
Yeah, that's a big loss for Phoenix.
One of the biggest names being brought in this season, so...
Talking about losses, Everton midfielder, I don't know if you guys have heard of him, Tim Cahill, and Fulham goalkeeper Mark Schwartz have been ruled out of Australia's forthcoming internationals against Malaysia and Oman. Cahill have been due to fly home for the matches, scheduled for the friendly on Friday in Canberra and next Tuesday, the World Cup qualifier in Sydney. Now, I watched a bit of the Premier League and saw both his injuries. The Schwartz one did not look good. His back injury, he couldn't take the goal kicks, and he was really struggling.
And a long plane flight, surely, would be the worst thing.
No, definitely. Well, at least his team won 6-0, so he didn't have too much work to do. But, it's a bit disappointing. I hope he does get better, because at 38, some injuries can just persist and keep you out for long term. But, hopefully he bounces back.
It has really left the game against Malaysia short on star power.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. And I'm pretty keen to get into that, as to it appears we're going to be playing primary school students from Canberra. Now, the takeover, the A-League defending champion Brisbane Roar. Brisbane Roar, Roarcelona, is complete. Takeover complete and is set to be officially announced on Friday. The Indonesian Bakari Group will have a 70% share in the club. Football Federation will take up the remaining 30%. Surely, Nick Jr., surely that's good news.
Oh, maybe. Big foreign corporations, they're all right, but...
Are you getting all economically nationalist on
There's still a lot of stuff to be found out, like... Obviously, Man City's Arab takeover worked pretty well, but their Thai takeover was a complete, well, disaster. One would suggest that, yeah, I'm not really sure. It's too early to say whether it would be good or not. But it's been said that they're going to try and bring in some Indonesian players and a couple marquees or something, which would be all right with the consent of the coach. If they go over Ange's head, don't give him... Full power over transfers, that could be a big problem.
I think you're right. If they're looking for essentially to be changing things within the club, they might come up against a few struggles. It'll be very interesting to watch the space. Roarcelona were the model club last season. I think they might be having some struggles. Nick Senior, comments?
Look, it's interesting. Indonesia is not known for having the most stable of football competitions, but...
However, why aren't these guys investing in an Indonesian team? Ooh. Has anyone asked them that? Like, there's not much money in the A-League, is there?
This is the A-League is on another level to the Indonesian competition. Okay.
Much better infrastructure and that sort of thing. But, yeah, can you imagine what it would be like if we had... half of Indonesia watching the A-League just for Brisbane.
That would be good. Numbers-wise,
that would be such a great...
It's a very good point, mate. Now, here's the little thing that caught my eye. Sydney FC's elite core of super fit players have... Elite, super fit, no less, have produced pre-season statistics comparable with those achieved at some of the world's greatest football clubs. Sky Blues Chief of Human Performance, Craig Duncan, has obtained statistics from leading English Premier League club. Has found that the pre-season fitness indicators produced by some Sydney players rank favourably alongside EPL's best.
Well, you'd hope so. You know, they have a 6-week pre-season. You'd think with a 6-month pre-season, imagine how much fitness you can get done.
Interesting.
And fitness is one thing, technical ability is another. So I don't really see much plus.
I think it's a bit of PRing.
It's good PR.
It is good PR. It's nice. But I'm just reminded of when Bernd Stanger, the Perth Glory coach, who we all salute for being a fantastic human mouthpiece in terms of media, did the same thing with some Bundesliga club stats against the Perth Glory players, and he was less than complimentary about the Perth Glory players, and Bernd was always a very honest man, and he was saying that they really weren't up to scratch. So it's an interesting sort of, for me it's quite interesting to see Sydney lauding their players, and especially Jamie Coyne, apparently, who came out some of the best, and Bernd several years ago saying that the players weren't quite up to scratch and needed to work better. So, I suspect PR. I'd like to think that there's some fitness element, but surely if they're crazy fit like Premier League footballers, perhaps they'd be looking to be playing in the Premier League?
Well, you think they need to be fit. It's a summer competition, the grounds are hard, it's a relatively fast pace.
I was going to say we will see. We will know. We'll not see. We'll never know. But I say boo. Now, the young Matildas departed for Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh City, to compete in the AFC Under-19 Women's Championship in 2011. So they will be battling it out with 5 other Asian countries to qualify for the FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup in 2012.
And good luck to them.
Go the young Matildas.
Definitely. It's probably half the World Cup squad in there.
Well, that's absolutely right. And some good experience has been had. So our commitment as the near post is we'll keep you up to date with the young Matildas and their anticipated success.
Good luck to them.
Yeah. Definitely.
Now, Melbourne Heart back home again. Melbourne Heart goalkeeper Clint Bolton admitted he wouldn't be surprised if former skipper Simon Colosimo walked out on the fledgling club. Rumours have been rife that Colosimo has become disgruntled since the captaincy was stripped off him and headed to Brazilian import Fred late last week. Crosstown rivals Melbourne Victory are reportedly very interested. So there's a couple of elements to this. First of all, Colosimo, bit of a tantrum or justified?
Well, rumour has it his place in the team's not assured. Maybe he's lost a yard of pace. Victory were very weak against set pieces last year, so maybe there's a bit of mutually beneficial gains from trade to be made.
Perhaps. You could swap Hernandez for him. He's not doing anything. I remember Colosimo as a young player, as a very, very good player. I certainly remember Andy Cole's tackle on him gave him quite serious, I believe it was knee injury. But Colosimo has always been one of my hopefuls, but I feel that he's past it now.
He's a bit on the downside.
He's on that slow, hopefully slow slide downwards.
Mm.
Nick Jr., Colosimo, does he justify holding on to the captaincy?
Well,
is he justified in doing so?
If he's not going to play all the time and he's not up to it, he's not the player he once was for Sydney. Well, for Sydney, they're saying he was in some of his best form ever, and he didn't really live up to that standard last season. So I don't see why not, but I'm a bit confused as to why it was given to Fred.
Yeah,
first season back in Australia, doesn't really know any of the team.
I say, how good is Fred?
Captain's got to be an automatic selection.
I would have given it to Matt Thompson or Clint Bolton, to be honest.
No, to me, it says that Fred is a pretty damn good player and going to be coming on.
If he's the man out on the pitch, yeah. I'm okay with it.
All right, just now to clean up the news and finish off with some Australians abroad, Alex Brosk is on fire, made it 2 goals from as many J-League games. Joshua Kennedy scored his 15th goal of the J-League to help Nagoya Grampus to a 3-1 victory. Matt Mackay, less goals, but he has vowed to fight for his place in the Rangers team. Now he's fully fit. And Lucas Neal scored his first goal for Al Jazeera.
Mm.
Go, Lucas.
Hats off.
It was interesting to see him playing up front. No, he wasn't actually playing up front, but, it's good to see him scoring those goals. Now, with the news finished, just a reminder, we're on Near Post Radio. I'm here with the two Nicks, Nick Senior, Nick Junior. We're talking football. We're probably talking a few numbers, and we're certainly talking A-League and Socceroos. Mm. Now, Socceroos, 2 games coming up, one against Malaysia, one against Oman. Oman is the important game.
Mm.
That's the World Cup qualifier, Malaysia. Now, one is Malaysia games on Friday, Tuesday. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of players. We lost some big players too.
We have lost some big players. I don't think there's as big a difference between Schwarzer and Federici as there was 5 years ago.
No.
Schwarzer's a little more mistake prone these days. But yeah, and we benched Cahill for
Saudi Arabia,
For Saudi Arabia. So
it is a big loss of experience.
I actually think it's a bigger loss off the pitch in terms of marketing. Yeah. I think Holger Osik's done a really good job putting a squad together. I think we'll be okay on the pitch, but I think it'll affect the crowds, particularly for the Canberra game.
Has Holger done himself put himself in trouble by leaving out Emerton and Kuehl? Does he need to? Has he shot himself in the foot?
Yeah, I was just wondering, is there a possibility that he'll call Emerton up as a replacement for Cahill?
Yeah, there is a bit of a possibility of that, but I think there's also pressure from the FFA. This is pure speculation on my part. I would like to be in the room where these decisions are made, but I'm not. But surely there's pressure from the FFA to Holger to leave out those two because they need them for their blockbuster.
Look, Kuehl, I can understand. He hasn't played a competitive game in months. But, yeah, Emerton, wouldn't surprise to see him get a call.
So by my count, there's 18 players, there's 2 games. I reckon everybody's going to get a game.
But looks of things differently.
Maybe not Nathan Coe. The goalkeeper has been brought in as a backup. But if Federici is injured, then I'm comfortable.
Look, hopefully Malaysia, you know, good solid game.
Yeah, and it is a friendly.
Put a couple past them, rotate quite a few guys at half time.
So I have I have a strategy, some tactics for Holger. Yeah. Yes. Do you want to hear them?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, I think we should play pretty much 8 players up front. We should certainly play Kennedy and Brosk, who can't stop scoring at the moment. Mm. And let's just forget about defence, because it is a friendly. Lucas, we want to make a good advert. Let's just go for goals. Who's with me?
That sounds great.
Yeah.
So the good old 118.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Look forward to it.
And we'll play Lucas Neal at the back, but of course with the view that he is a goal scoring defender. Yes. And he will be coming forward.
And if they break it all, we'll just side them down.
Who doesn't want to see that game? But yeah, quite genuinely, Malaysia's going to be a tricky game. I wonder if we're going to see some soft. We're going to see some very careful play from the Socceroos.
I'm not sure. I hope that they will put some attacking endeavour into it, because we don't really need another boring game in Canberra.
No.
Now, as we're saying, this radio show comes out of Canberra. This game is in Canberra, so we'll take the near-post limousine.
The worst Socceroos game, except maybe for that under-23 game versus UAE, but that Socceroos game against Kuwait that they had in Canberra was terrible.
Now, are you guys all going to the game?
I'll be there.
Right?
That's the plan, yes.
Nick Jr., yeah. You're anticipating what sort of scoreline? Let's have your scorelines very quickly for your Malaysia and Oman.
3-4-0 maybe.
For against Malaysia?
I'm not sure how good Malaysia is, but I think it should be a fairly easy win.
It should be a pretty solid win. Look, I'm tipping Socceroos maybe 3-1. I think maybe they get a little bit careless towards the end, and I'm thinking Patrick's also going to be very nervous, because listeners may not know that he's making his amateur boxing debut this weekend.
This is true, Nick. Another one of my sporting misadventures is boxing, so I'll be fighting down in Adelaide.
I'm looking forward to you hosting the show next week.
Yeah.
Spit blood and teeth at the microphone.
I'll tell you what, if I win on the weekend, there'll be hugs all around, and if I don't get knocked out, I'll be pretty happy with myself.
Yep.
So, yeah, thank you, Nick, for the reminder that I'm about to walk into...
No problem. Look, you can rely on me
to
turn off the life support if needed.
Well, and just to remind people, we're not talking boxing. This is Near Post Australian Football on the Australian Community Radio Network. Thank you for all your wishes of goodwill for my upcoming fight. Now, let's talking upcoming. We have the A-League starting this weekend.
God bless.
And it's been a while, hasn't it? It's been a very long while. I was just checking if they changed the rules in between the last game and this opening game. It seems that everything's pretty much as it was. They're still playing with the same ball. It should be okay. Bring on the A-League.
There are some huge games this weekend.
Look, so I want to talk to you about those games, and I thought what we might do is boringly just go through them, which sounds crazy, but it will work for our purposes. The first match, the opening match, Newcastle Jets versus Melbourne Heart. Initially, you know what, I wasn't so interested in that game.
But now,
I'm pretty damn interested in it now. Coach is gone, key player is gone.
It's going to be very interesting to see how they respond.
Melbourne Heart is fired up. I think they're going to have a good season. Mm. We may not see fisticuffs, but we're going to see sparks.
What I'm really interested to see, Melbourne Heart very quick in attack, but the Jets are pretty solid down back.
The Jets has always been a very quick team, and especially with the likes of Tarek Ojic at the back. I love him as a player, and Elliot Bass on the wing. He's a very good one as well. So it should be good. But I think Melbourne Heart will have slightly more,
a bit more finishing.
David Williams,
they're undefeated in their last 2 matches, but they haven't had a win in their last 6. But I think that Newcastle are going to be fired up. I think they're going to be pretty frustrated by the sacking of their coach, and we may see the Newcastle boys, the young lads of Newcastle, come in swinging. Now I want to get on to the blockbuster, the one we've been talking about for a long time now. Melbourne Victory versus Sydney FC. It's in Melbourne. The last time these guys played was 1-1. Melbourne Victory undefeated in their last 4 matches. I don't know if you guys have heard these players, but Harry Kewell and Brett Emerton. two young guys. Faintly they're going to be playing faintly against each other. The Australian media is going to be pretty focused on this.
Looking forward to it. With all the Kiel hype, I think it's easy to forget that, you know, the Victory do have a few other players there as well. So much could happen.
So much attacking firepower in that team, definitely.
And the Victory, I reckon, still questions down the back, which makes for a potentially an ideal game.
So you're predicting big things for them this season?
I'm predicting big things. I think.
Have you got your Melbourne Victory tattoo yet?
Very talented. No, I'm more of a Hart guy.
Oh, really?
I think.
Except for Marco Rojas, of course.
Yeah, Rojas is my boy. I'm excited about him. He's the choicest Kiwi you'll ever see, bro.
Just a quick prediction for the El Clasico. But I'm going to use the term 2-1. Okay, 2-1 to Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Right, okay. And Nick Jr.
I'm going to say 2-0 to Melbourne. Solzano double, fingers crossed. He's really? My fantasy team.
Important. Look, I think it's fantastic, and I just hope that we're going to have an exciting game. I think we will. The A-League is a very good competition. It's very attacking comp, so it'd be really good to see that go. All right, Brisbane Roar versus the Central Coast Mariners. Nick Jr., Central Coast is your team. How are they going to roll through Rosalona?
I think it's just going to be a 1-1 draw to start off the season. It's going to be
very evenly matched teams.
Yes.
Well coached, well organised.
But I would very like to see them win, however.
The Mariners haven't beaten the Roar in 7 matches.
No, but we're getting closer every time.
All right, okay, each and every time. It's good. Nick Senior, Rosalona?
Good, but not great. I think they've lost a bit too much. It'll be interesting to see some of their imports. They've, you know, got them from Bahrain, Albania. Yeah, interesting.
Now, Gold Coast United versus Wellington Phoenix is one of the other games. Two teams that seem destined for the bottom of the table.
Two teams that have had more headlines for the wrong reasons than the right reasons.
Yes. I think Gold Coast will edge this one. They've got the hardest working midfield in the A-League in James Brown. And then we've got more depth, which is interesting to say when you compare the two, but yeah, I think they'll edge it.
So the last game is Perth Glory versus Adelaide United.
Oh, your Perth Glory, yeah. Paddy. How are you feeling about them?
I feel Perth will do well.
I think Adelaide are my
dark horses.
Well, they're not even a dark horse. I mean, if you're tipping them to make the grand final.
I think Adelaide will run right through them.
So this is it. This is the A-League as we know it. This is the A-League coming up on this weekend. And I, for one, cannot wait. And this is the end of the show. So thank you very much for listening. And if you're going to the Near Post,
get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post.